On my way through the operations center of the Situation Room, Ralph Siegler, the longtime Situation Room deputy director, grabbed me. We're on the line with NORAD on an air threat conference call. That was a procedure instituted by the North American Aerospace Defense Command during the Cold War to alert the White House when Soviet bombers got too close to U.S. airspace. "Where's POTUS? Who have we got with him?" I asked, using the White House jargon that stood for President of the United States. "He's in the kindergarten in Florida," Siegler replied. "Deb's with him." Deb was Navy Captain Deborah Lauer, the director of the White House Situation Room. "We have a line open to her cell." As I entered the video center, Lisa Gordon Haggerty was taking the role, and I could see people rushing into the studios around the city. Donald Rumsfeld at Defense and George Tenet at CIA. But at many of the sites, the principal was traveling. The Attorney General was in Milwaukee, so Larry Thompson, the deputy, was at Justice. Rich Armitage, the number two at State, was filling in for Colin Powell, who was in Peru. Air Force four-star General Dick Myers was filling in for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Hugh Shelton, who was over the Atlantic. Bob Mueller was at the FBI, but he had just started that job. Behind each principal, staffs could be seen frantically yelling on telephones and grabbing papers. Condi Rice walked in behind me with her deputy, Steve Hadley. "Do you want to chair this as a principal's meeting?" I asked her. "No, you run it," she told me. I pushed aside the chair at the head of the table and stood there, Condi visibly at my side. "Let's begin. Calmly. We will do this in crisis mode, which means keep your microphones off unless you're speaking. If you want to speak, wave at the camera. If it's something you don't want everyone to hear, call me on the red phone." Rice would later be criticized in the press by unnamed participants of the meeting for just standing around. From my obviously partial perspective, she had shown courage by standing back. She knew it looked odd, but she also had enough self-confidence to feel no need to be in the chair. She did not want to waste time. I thought back to the scene in this room when the Oklahoma City bombing took place. President Clinton had walked in and sat down, chairing the counterterrorism security group for a few minutes. While it showed high-level concern and we were glad to have him there, it would have slowed down our response if he had stayed. "You're going to need some decisions quickly," Rice said off-camera. "I'm going to the PIOC to be with the vice president. Tell us what you need." "What I need is an open line to Cheney and you." I turned to my White House fellow, Army Major Mike Fenzel. "Mike," I said, "go with Condi to the PIOC and open a secure line to me. I'll relay the decisions that we need to you." Fenzel was used to pressure. As a lieutenant, he had driven his Bradley fighting vehicle down the runway of an Iraqi airbase, shooting up MiGs and taking return fire. As a captain, he had led a company of infantry into war-torn Liberia and faced down a mob outside the U.S. Embassy. 18 months after 9/11, Fenzel would be the first man to parachute out of his C-17 in a nighttime combat jump into Iraq. "Okay," I began. "Let's start with the facts. FAA, FAA, go." I fell into using the style of communications on tactical radio, so that those listening in the other studios around town could hear who was being called on over the din in their own rooms.